My name is Lisa Gilfillan, for those of you who don't know me, which I'm sure there are many. And I was born and raised in a very large Roman Catholic family. We didn't have very much money, and we didn't go anywhere. A big journey was like a half hour away from our house. And my parents would prepare as though they were going to war. Yeah. And my parents are really good parents. They're still alive, and a lot has changed since all of us have become Christian. And they were never abusive to me. It wasn't that. But they didn't give me a lot of faith for finances. And because of that, it would have been very easy for me to kind of have a mentality that it isn't possible to go to the next level. Okay? I really understand what that's about. My dad, maybe we should close the door that's between us here. Can somebody close that door? I don't want them to have to hear us and us to have to hear them. That's hard. Who wants to hear me anyway? I mean, you know, they're going to that class for a reason, okay? You guys want to hear me, but okay. But one thing my father used to do, and I know he didn't do it to hurt me, but it was probably because of his experiences. When I would tell him a plan that I had that involved money, he'd always answer with, "You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Well, Dad, I want to go to the University of Michigan. You don't want to do that." He wanted me to go to a smaller, less expensive place, okay? When I would say that I wanted to go and get some special training, he always would say, "You don't want to do that." I'd say, "Yes, that's why I'm bringing it up. I want to do that." Okay? And so I think that in a lot of different cultures, there is a poverty mentality that gets transmitted that we have to break. Now, by no means am I advocating going from a poverty mentality to going to an attitude of greed. I can't stand that either. But I just want to talk about a few things today, some spiritual aspects and some practical things that we can do to get out of a poverty mindset as somebody who's been there. I remember when I was in junior high, and I was born in Detroit, and I also grew up in a suburb right next to Detroit. And one day, my social studies teacher told us in junior high that we were as close to the poverty line as you can get without being on the poverty line. And I remember sitting in class and having like a panic attack. I've never had a panic attack. Really, I don't do that. I've had really bad experiences, you know, airplanes almost crash and everything. I don't even panic then. But this day, sitting in class, when I heard what my teacher said, I panicked. And I walked home from school. I had a really long walk. It was like about 2 miles. And as I was walking home from school, I was planning how I was going to get out of poverty. And here I was in junior high. You know, I really was very adept at everything. Not. So I thought, what do I have? What resources do I have? How can I survive? And I thought, the only thing I know how to do is be good in school, which is true. I mean, I was always the last person picked for any sports team. It was very embarrassing. It would get down to me and Ollie James. And believe it or not, Ollie James was shorter than myself. She was like a little Polly Pocket. She was so cute. You know, she was even shorter than me. And so it get down to Lisa and Ollie James. And most of the time, I was the last person picked. Every now and then, I was better than Ollie at something, and so I'd get picked. But very rarely. The only thing I was really good at was school. And I thought, if I don't parlay this into something, I'm going to be in poverty. And we had been through the Detroit riots, so I knew what poverty looked like. I mean, poverty was burnt-out houses and living where you can't keep the door on your house locked and all that kind of stuff. I knew what that was. So I just want to encourage you as I start that this is something I've lived. This isn't something that I'm just telling you, oh, you know, I've got a theory about this. No. If the Lord Jesus hadn't gotten a hold of me when I was 17 and hadn't helped me to get on a right path, I would probably still be in Detroit and be in poverty. It was only him who really guided me, led me, directed me to where I am today. Now I go all over the world. I've been on every continent, been on Antarctica, and I want to go to Antarctica because I love penguins. I'm so in love with penguins. Some of them are the same size as me. I'm a little scared of them. But I like the little ones. I have a little more control over. Some of those emperor ones, I mean, we are seeing eye to eye, you know? I'm like, you stay back, you know. I know you're important, but you're just a penguin, and I'm a child of God, okay? Emperor Penguin, submit to me. The only reason I can do the things I do is because of Jesus, and I know that. But he's taught me some principles that I want to talk to you about today. And number one, it's know our attitudes determine much. I can see such a huge difference between my generation and between my mom and dad's generation. And I'm only talking about a difference because of salvation, a difference because of what Jesus did. Because actually, my parents' generation overall is much harder working than my generation. Okay? I'm just going to tell you. If it were only hard work that got you someplace, my parents should have done much better than I do, because my parents know how to work hard. But they were children of the Depression, and they began to get a bad mindset because of that. They had a good mindset about work. They had an excellent mindset about work. They knew they had to work hard. They got a bad mindset because they thought they had lots of limitations. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." People can't hide who they are and what they feel forever. So, it doesn't always have to be such a heavy-duty thing. But I can say I want to look like a supermodel. But if I keep hitting the potato chip bag, I'm not going to look like a supermodel. So, you know, I can say I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in shape. I'm going to be fit. But if I don't exercise, it's not going to happen. So what is occurring there when we say one thing and do another is that our attitudes haven't changed. Our perspectives haven't changed. And I know that all my life, even my life with Jesus, I've had moments of fear when I'm about to go to the next level. I've never had one time where I thought, oh, this will be easy. Oh, I can do this. No problem. Jesus always gives me something bigger than I think I can do. And I always have that momentary, I'm not sure. Oh, my goodness, is that Emperor Penguin coming after me? I mean, I'm like, I just don't know if I can do it. But then the Lord begins to change my attitude. And I find that most of us don't realize how many gifts we have from God. I'm not talking about we should be arrogant and prideful. That's ridiculous, because everything we have is from the Lord. But we also need to treasure what Jesus has given us. The word says that God has given us gifts, each one of us. He's divided up talents. And if we don't really think about them, if we don't acknowledge them, we're not going to go to the next level. I know that when I was a preschool teacher, one time I was singing in front of my class, getting them to sing. You know, I was teaching them a song. And the director pulled me out of class after the kids were all doing their work and said, "You have a really good voice. Why don't you use it more?" And you know what my first thought, and I'd been saved for years. I'd been in the ministry for years. And my first words out of my mouth were, "Oh, I don't sing. My sister sings. I'm the smart one. My sister sings and my other sister's athletic." And she looked at me and she said, "Why are you limiting yourself?" And I didn't even know I was. Even as I said the words, I felt stupid. But those were really the words that were in my heart. That was the attitude that was in my mind. I thought, I don't sing. My sister sings. I'm the smart one. I do book work. And I was limiting myself so much. I'm bringing up that incident because I bet even as I'm speaking, the Lord is starting to reveal something that you limit yourself in. It's just human nature in this fallen world. And the enemy's always accusing us, always telling us we're not good enough, always bringing up all of our bad points and our sins, of which there are many. But he doesn't highlight the good gifts that God gives us. Now, Pastor Jessica said that I've had to do a lot of studies in business. The reason I'm doing this is because I want to do everything I can to help the body of Christ to be self-sufficient in him. We have 11 orphanages in Myanmar, which should be called Burma. It's in Southeast Asia. It's the poorest country in Southeast Asia. And now, 4 of those are self-sufficient. 4 of them are about 50% able to take care of themselves. The other 3, I didn't get good businesses. I tried a fish farm. The fish died. That's not a good thing. You know, that's kind of a just the seeing fish floating to the top, you know, really humbles you. You know you can't do anything without God when you see a bunch of floating fish. But think of the positive thing. 4 out of the 11 orphanages now can survive without us. So through the years, I've studied what helps people to get out of poverty. And, I mean, I know not everybody here is in poverty. But this also applies to what helps you go to the next level economically, okay? Let's see what that is. The Brookings Institution has done research finding that if you're born into a poor family, there's a 35% chance you'll get out of poverty. That's actually better than, I surveyed a bunch of people. I said, if you're born poor, how many people do you think get out of poverty? And they said to me, oh, probably 1 in 10. No, it's 35% in the United States. That's actually a pretty good average. Because we're talking about a totally secular statistic. We're talking that over 1 in 3 people get out of poverty. We're not talking about the help and grace of God at all. We're just talking about, in general, how they do it. All right? Again, this is a totally secular study. And I'm going to tell you the 3 things that they found that help people to get out of poverty and stay out of poverty. I'm not saying this to convict anybody. Let me just tell you what the study said, and then we're going to talk about each point. Number one, according to the Brookings Institution, the number one thing you can do to get out of poverty is to graduate from high school. Number 2, work full time. And number 3, marry before you have children. This is not a Christian study that's going on, okay? This is purely what makes sense in the realm of poverty. So if any of these apply to you, and you think, oh, well, then that shows I'm not going to go to the next level. I'm going to talk to you about something different. That's not true. Okay? So let's talk about number 1. Okay, children do not limit you. They complete the destiny that the Lord has for your life. Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are the crown of old men. It doesn't say that they're the shackles of young women. Okay? Some of you, some of your friends, some people that you know, because remember, when you're listening to a message, always think first, how does this apply to me? And then how can I help others with this? That's what we do when we come to hear the word of God. When we come to learn, we're thinking, how can it help us? How can it help others? Okay? The first thing I want to dispel is that if you have kids and you're not married, that you're always going to be in poverty. It's not true. It isn't the truth. It's not God's will. It's not God's best. I know people have told you that. I know you felt that because of the strain, but it's not what's going to happen. All right? So much of what I've done in my life, I have done with my children. I want you to start looking at your children not as shackles, but actually as a propellant, like a rocket launch, into the future. Because you can do a lot of things when you know that your children will benefit. I've seen mothers do so much more than they ever thought they were capable because they love their kids so dearly. When I was first a missionary, I was a single missionary in Japan. And at that time, the Japanese, and still to a certain extent, although after the earthquake, the Japanese have become a little bit more open to the claims of the gospel. But in the 80s, when I was a missionary there, they weren't very open. But there was a proverb in Japanese that says, and I'm going to say it in the English, obviously, unless there are a lot of you that know Japanese, anybody? No. Okay. That says that a bull won't cross a bridge unless his calf is on the other side. And the Japanese have an understanding that there's a lot of things that a parent never would do except because they have children. All right? Oh, my, my, my. There's a beautiful story. And my husband, Baron, will be preaching at the weekend services on August 6th and 7th. He'll probably share this story, but it's one that's very important to the two of us. And it's about Ben Carson. He was one of the first African-American neurosurgeons. He's a fantastic man of God and doctor. His skills are just exemplary. He actually has participated in dividing a lot of Siamese twins. But when Ben grew up, his mother was very young. I think she was about 13 when she had him. And she was married, believe it or not. But the husband soon left Ben, his brother, and the mother. And so they had grinding poverty. The mother just worked day and night. She didn't know how to read. But Ben and his brother didn't know that for many years because she always acted like she knew how to read. She was not literate, though. And because she had to work so hard, the kids were often unsupervised. There were gangs. There were all kinds of people who were trying to get Ben and his brother involved in things that weren't good for them, things that were destructive for them. And during those hard years, Ben Carson's mother became a Christian. And one day, Ben and his brother brought home the report cards, and they got all Fs. It was just soul-killing to her. Because even though she wasn't yet somebody who could read, she was a very hard-working woman, and she loved to learn. And after she became a Christian, she just wanted to learn anything she could about the Bible, anything she could to help raise her kids. And she said to Ben and his brother, these report cards are horrible. And they were like really apathetic. Nobody does well. Don't worry about us. You know, nobody does well around here. You don't have to worry about us. And she's like, of course I have to worry about you. You're my responsibility. She said, I'm going to pray and fast 3 days, and the Lord will show me what to do. And that woman did. Even though she had multiple jobs and had to work so hard, she prayed and fasted for 3 days, and she got a plan from the Lord. She sat her boys down, and she said, first thing, there will be no playing until you get all your homework done. Ah! I mean, they hated their, they never did their homework before. You know, why should it change? She said, I'm serious. If your homework's not done, you won't be able to play. Now, she wasn't even there to supervise them, okay? But she laid down the law, and she had authority from God. And she said, secondly, every week you will go and take out 2 books from the library. They're like, books? Blech, what are books? You know, they just used to hit each other with books. They didn't ever use books for any other reasons. What are books? Blech. And she said, every week you're going to take out 2 books, you're going to read them, and you're going to write book reports for me. They're like, unbelievable. Our mom has gone insane. But she was strong, and she said, this is how it will be. This is what God has told me needs to happen with you, and this is what will happen. So she started it. Now, it was kind of embarrassing because she didn't even know how to read the book reports that the guys gave her. But she would ask questions about the book. She would act like she was giving them a test. Now, what book was it that you read? Oh, it was a book about lions. What did you find out about lions? It was because she couldn't read the reports, okay? She was very clever from God. Then they would have to explain it all over again. To make a very long story short, within one semester, Ben went from getting all Fs to all A's. He went from being the bottom of his class to the top of his class. He went to college. He went to medical school. And he's now one of the foremost surgeons in the world. But why? It's because he had a single mother who was in the grip of poverty, and yet she asked God to give her a plan and a way to get across the bridge. She might never have crossed that bridge, but she knew her calf was on the other side, and she had to do whatever she could to rescue that calf. It's the same with us here. And we have to change our attitudes and know that our children aren't our shackles, but our children can actually propel us into the future. All right. There's work you can do while caring for your own children. You can do home child care. Now, you have to be on the ball with this. We should be on the ball with our kids anyway. You can't be watching soap operas, seeing how the beautiful people live. They're making so much money, you're sitting home getting fat, eating bonbons. Listen, I know a guy who's in the soap operas, okay? He's my brother's best friend. His name is Sean Christian, and he's been in As the World Turns, and now he's a doctor on some other, I don't even remember. Okay, that guy is filthy rich. I do not want to see Sean getting richer off of us. Okay, Sean's a good guy. His head stayed on pretty strong. He's still married to the same woman, has kids, you know, doing well. But every now and then, my brother-in-law tells me, Sean's in a special arc in the soap opera, you know. And he emails me something, or, you know, and I watch it. I think, how stupid. You know, Sean has made so much money because he's cute, and we like to look at him and pretend we're him. Or pretend the girl that he's kissing is us, or whatever it is, you know? How stupid, all right? I want to live my life. I don't want to watch other people live their lives. I love the Kardashians. I pray for them. But I don't care that Kim's butt's real. I want a good butt for my own exercise. I don't need Kim's Botox. I need my own life and my own skincare line. Okay? You can do things at home with your kids. You can do elder care. You can do laundry and ironing. You can do cooking. You can also use other skills you have and barter, meaning you trade your skills for other people. Don't say because you're at home that you can't do what it takes to go to the next level. I've had to be at home a lot in different situations. When my husband was going to seminary, I took in kids. So I had my own kid and other people's kids. And actually, it was a very good thing. I taught my child much more systematically because I had other people there. I taught those kids. I had to be more organized. My home had to be more in order. I had to meet all the safety requirements. It was actually a great thing. But you know, there were a lot of mornings I did not want to get out of bed and take care of my own kid and a bunch of others. But that's okay. That was the only way we were going to make it to the next level. And you can see, I survived. My kids are now 23 and 20. And I've got a son in Atlanta who's 24. All right, I survived. You don't see me getting up every morning now to take care of little kids. I do other work. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying, you know. But what I'm saying was that was a season, and I completed the season. And we used it to go to the next level. I had some friends who were fantastic in childcare. And they used to teach me so many things. That learning period helped me to be able to establish schools all around the world. I have a school in Nigeria still running. And it went from being a preschool to a preschool kindergarten to a preschool kindergarten elementary school to a preschool kindergarten elementary junior high. And a lot of the reason that that school's in existence is because when we had to go to the next level, I had a bunch of kids in my house and I was teaching them the Word of God, basic skills, social attributes that we should have. Don't clobber everybody. Let's not kill, steal, and destroy. You're a preschooler, not a punk. All right? This church is committed to helping you go to the next level. Remember I said that the number one factor in getting out of poverty is to have your high school diploma? Well, we have a literacy program here at The Rock, and we have a GED program. I checked it on the web. I hope it's still, you know, I hope it's absolutely up to date. But every Tuesday at 7 p.m. in the Wedding Chapel, you can call 909-825-8887 if you need help. There is nothing wrong with needing help. I need help every day of my life. Why do you think I've been in school so long? It's not because I'm so smart. It's because I have so much to learn. All right? I do not consider it a sign of weakness to try to learn something new or to admit, I'm not good at that. Can you teach me? I have to tell all kinds of people, I'm not good at that. Can you teach me? And they teach me. Also, if you need job skills, I talked to you about this in one other sermon that I've done here at Girlfriends, but the Regional Occupational Program really can give you a lot of classes that will give you marketable skills, skills that will help you get a job. And they're low cost or free, depending on your income level. And we have one here in San Bernardino that's on Mountain View. The number there is 909-252-4550. There are ways that you can get trained without spending a lot of money. You need to know about this, even if it's not for you, if it's for a friend. When people keep telling me, I can't because, or but, I say, but, you ain't J-Lo. Let's stop talking about your butt. All right? I already talked about Kim, so I'm not going to go there again. All right? I love them. I'm praying for them. They're starting to get holier. Kim Kardashian has begun tweeting Bible verses. I take that as a direct result of some of my prayers. And the prayers of many others, obviously. Okay? I say, but doesn't count with me. Don't tell me I can't. Let's figure out how you can. All right? I don't want to hear anymore how we can't do something. I want to hear how we can. Now, I understand you can't go from being in preschool to designing a rocket ship. But what are the steps you need to take to be able to design a rocket ship? Divide and conquer, and you'll get there. Now, if you're older, if you're 55 and older, which is getting to be my age group, you know, that's why I'm probably going to have to start taking advantage of this stuff very soon. AARP keeps sending me their cards, too. They want me to retire. They want me to be one of their spokespeople. No, I'm just joking. But the AARP people has programs to help people 55 and older to acquire job skills and get employment. And I'm talking about free programs because they have a grant to do it. And I give you the numbers that you can call toll-free, 888-687-2277. If you're hearing impaired, 877-434-7589. If you need it in Spanish, 877-627-3350. Also, the government gives tax breaks to people who employ those who are 55 and older. So you can, if you're looking for a job, you can use that to your advantage. You can say, you know, the government will give you some tax credit if you put me to work. Your salary will be a lot less. It'll be half because an employer is taking you on if they go through some governmental programs. Use it. You have lived this long. I always say the oldest person in the room is the smartest because you've survived. No lion's gotten you. No emperor penguins brought you down to the mat. You're alive, baby, and kicking. And you have a lot of skills to offer the world. Okay, so first, our attitudes need to change. And if you want to know what that AARP Foundation program is called, it's called Senior Community Service Employment Program. All right, and I did talk about companies getting tax breaks and other benefits. Also, there are certain stores like Home Depot and Walmart that really like to employ older people. I'll be wearing one of those orange shirts very soon. I mean, I'll be getting everybody saved. I have to be careful. I have to do everything within the grounds of legality, but everyone will like me so much because of the wisdom and the fun that God's given me, and they're going to get saved. It's just going to happen. That's how I look at life. People are going to get saved when they're around me. Can't help it. Jesus is too powerful. Number two, it's true. So first, our attitudes have to change. Number two, we have to resolve to get busy. Now, this isn't to, again, knock anybody down. You got out of bed this morning. I'm proud of you. I'm not a morning person. I'm a night owl. I could stay up all night, sleep till noon, then try to get some more work done. But it doesn't work in the real world that well. And I'm not a vampire, and I never want to be. So so I work while it's still day, okay? How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Now listen, that's Proverbs 6, 10, and 11. I know that some reasons that people sleep so much is because they're depressed, because they feel like they can't face what they're having to go through every day. I'm not criticizing, but I'm saying that you will be in that paralysis of procrastination forever unless you ask the Lord to help you step by step to get out of it. When I got back from Asia, when I was a young missionary, I'd been to university 5 years, I'd been to Bible school, I'd gotten ordained, I had international experience, and I could not get a job. I finally got a minimum wage job that I had to go to every day. And they always were like, you're pretty educated for this job. And I think, oh, sassafras, you know. Had to act godly, had to act godly. I was a missionary after all. It was so hard, though, in the literally weeks that it took me to get that minimum wage job, to keep having people say no. So I know what it's like to constantly be rejected. I'd be like, but look at all these talents I have. We don't need those, or you're overqualified. One person I said to them, am I overqualified to starve to death? Because I'm about ready to be out of my money, you know? He didn't care. He was kind of a heartless guy. But it's hard to be rejected. But the Lord can be right by your side. And there are many times I've had to go into a job interview or something, and I've said, oh, God, be with me. I feel like I'm going into the lions. And most of the time he jokes with me, are you kidding me? You know, this is just Walmart. What do you think? This is not the lion's den. Give me a break. You will live even if you don't get this job. And I'm like, okay. But you can sleep your life away because of fear. You can sleep your life away because of procrastination. Now that I'm old, I know a lot of people who are even older, and they tell me they wish they had done this. They wish they had done this. But they just wouldn't resolve to get busy, and time ticked away. Okay? Take advantage of every bit of help available if you're having a problem right now and if you need to go to the next level. But resolve that you will be giving other people help and not receiving benefits soon. That's what I had to do. There was a time when I had to have a lot of people help me in order to get through a certain season. And I was weak. I needed help. I needed assistance. But I can remember in that time asking God, please teach me. You're really humbling me here because other people are giving to me when normally I give to them. Please teach me how to give during this season so that I won't always be the one receiving. Teach me so that I can get out of this season. Show me how I can be stronger so that I can give and not always be the one given to. All right? Now, we've got food distribution at The Rock. You can find out if you can have free or reduced child care at your child's school, if you need to get some more education or a job, free or reduced costs for medical and dental care. We're very fortunate because we live in an area with a lot of hospitals. And those student nurses, doctors, and dentists need someone to practice on. So we can actually go to places and have things done for free or very reduced. All right? But you've got to ask. You can't be sleeping. For some reason, they don't come into your bedroom and say, hey, you need a root canal? You know, no dentist has ever just walked into my bedroom and said, you need any help? And I wouldn't want one to. I mean, that would be scary. Okay. I had to go and seek out help. All right? And you can also get free or reduced cost of educational opportunities. I'm so big on this. People are always telling me they can't afford to do something. You cannot afford not to do something right now. If you want to have a life that's always been the way it's been, you just keep doing what you've always been doing. But Einstein said, and he was a pretty smart guy overall, bad hair though, bad hair. I mean, goodness, that guy needed a stylist desperately. But Einstein said that the very definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and think you're going to get a different result. But humans do that all the time. As a pastor, they're telling me, or a minister, because I've been a pastor at different times and a minister for many years, since 1983, people are always telling me what they're doing, and I'm saying to them, weren't you doing the same thing 5 years ago? And you're still not in this mess. It's because you're doing the exact same thing you were doing 5 years ago. We've got to change it up. And I know it can be hard. There are times it takes all the courage I have to get out of bed. But you know what? Once I put my feet down, I start feeling empowered by God with every step I take. And I'm somebody, I talk to myself out loud when I'm alone. I am not crazy. I just reaffirm myself. And I say to myself things like, every day I'm getting closer to my goals. Step by step, I'm getting closer. I'm going to make it. I'm going to accomplish everything I have to do. Everything that the Lord Jesus Christ wants done in my life is going to be done by His grace. He's going to give me the strength. He's going to give me the wisdom. He's going to give me the resources. I just say that to myself. But there are days when it's hard, and I'm saying, every day I'm getting closer. Every day I'm getting closer. Every day I'm getting closer. And sometimes I'm saying it by faith. When I just finished this last doctorate, there was a time in my study where I had so much work to do. You know, I still have a full-time job. I have a family and everything. I do a lot of my work on airplanes and in airports and all kinds of crazy places. And one day I just thought, oh, I'm just breaking down. I can't do it. And I felt like the Lord just put His hand on me and said, you can do it with me, love. You can do it with me. I'm right here. And He made me break down and write every single thing I needed to do. It almost looked worse when I wrote it all down. But He did it because He wanted me to divide and conquer my work and then get such satisfaction out of crossing off everything I did. So every assignment I completed, every test I took, every paper I wrote, I got to just blot it out. Won't have to do that ever again. Won't have to do that ever again. And finally, I got it done. And I remember when I hit send to finish my, you know, last paper, I thought, how did that happen? How did God do it? And I remember Him saying, you had a little bit to do with it yourself, honey. I was like shocked. Because, of course, I wanted to give him the glory, but he was like, you were participating, Lisa. I helped you, but you were participating. It's the same thing with all of us. All right? And when you're receiving help, again, there's nothing wrong with that, but always ask how you can help the person or the organization that's assisting you. Proverbs 18:16 in the Message says, a gift gets attention. It buys the attention of eminent people. A lot of people have good jobs because they volunteered at different places. A lot of people, when they've been receiving assistance, have said, listen, I'm just a little bit down right now. I don't have a lot of resources right now, but I'm a good cook, or I'm really good at cleaning, or I can help take care of your kids. Whatever it might be, whatever your gift is, use your gift to bless the people who are assisting you. And I'm telling you, you're going to go to the next level much more quickly. Because I love to see someone with initiative. If someone's always saying, gimme, 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 I'm like, oh, brother. You know? And the thing is that I love to give to people. I do. And I give to homeless people. I usually try to give them food instead of money because, you know, I don't want them to use it on illegal substances or anything. But I'll see these guys with these signs, and they'll say, out of gas, just need gas to get to Phoenix. I'm just making it up. But I'll see them there for 2 weeks. And so I'm thinking, I think the jig is up. I don't really think you're going to Phoenix. I think you thought that might be a good way to get some money. But I'm not believing that you're sitting there still trying to get gas money for 2 weeks. Mm-mm. I actually know some young people who were homeless, and they told me how much money they made on the freeway off ramps. I almost quit my job and went, but I said, no, that's just wrong. That's just, you know, no. I need to continue to be diligent. I need to practice what I'm preaching, right? Number three, start praying about everything. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Every time, I mean, I'm still in a place of faith constantly. Okay, I've not arrived at all. I need so much money to keep our missionary organization going. And I've started praying for everything. And when you pray specifically, you can see the grace and the wisdom of God, because he will answer specifically. He'll do everything from the sublime to the ridiculous. I'm not even a very good cook. I'm getting a little better by the grace of God. But I saw a cookbook holder one time in an airport, and for some reason I wanted that cookbook holder. That's crazy. That just shows you I have so much faith that I know I'm going to be a good chef. I should really be in there with Chef Todd now, learning more. Instead, I'm trying to help you. Okay. But yeah, I wanted this cookbook holder. It was like bizarre. And I actually felt the Lord say to me, pray about it because your mother is going to get it for you. I thought, what in the world? Am I jet lagged? You know, I don't even know what country I'm in anymore. But maybe I'm just like, woo, out of it. But I felt like the Lord said, pray about it, and then your mother will get it for you. I'm a big girl. You know, Mom, you really shouldn't have to be getting me anything by this time. Anyway, I said, okay, but I forgot about it because I saw that cookbook holder in the summer. Then we went to my parents for Christmas. I had still forgotten about it. And when we were opening up our gifts, I saw that cookbook holder I wanted. My mom said, one day I was in the store and I just felt like, Lisa needs this cookbook holder. And I laughed because I know you're not even a good cook. Always encouragement, always, you know, motherly love, devotion, trying to edge me on to the higher level. No, it's true, you know. We laugh so hard. But this can be true in all of our lives. Do your kids need shoes? Pray that the Lord will give them shoes. You'll be amazed at how God will do it. Do you need milk? Pray for milk. Do you need a car? Pray for a car. Break down everything, okay? In James 4, 2 and 3, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. That's the number one reason. Then secondly, you ask, this is after we ask, and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Now listen, he first says, ask. You don't have things because you're not asking. Then he secondly says, and sometimes when you ask just because you want to seem as good as the guy next door, the lady at work, the person down the street. That's a wrong motivation. It's different when you ask because you need something. It's even okay to ask if you want something. But remember, then it's the Lord's responsibility to get it to you. It's not your responsibility to make it happen. And whatever we get, we're simply stewards of. So if the Lord says, give that to somebody else, we better do it. Okay? 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. See, I wanted to put that up, who gives us richly all things to enjoy, because I want to make it clear that God wants his kids to have what we need. He wants us to enjoy life. He doesn't just want us to have a life of misery and we finally get to heaven and everything is cool. Now, it's true that we get to heaven, everything's cool. It's a good place. But we don't have to just endure our lives. We can enjoy them. I have a friend. Baron just met with him. He was in a coma for 2 months. And he's a Filipino who has a British accent. It's the craziest thing in the world. Whenever he talks, I just am fascinated because I'm expecting him to have like a Tagalog or Cebuano or Ilocano accent. And he's got this proper British accent. Oxford, you know, he sounds like C.S. Lewis. Anyway, he was in a coma for 2 months. And during that time, he had a few encounters with the Lord in heaven. He knew when his brother had died because he saw his sister comforting, his sisters comforting his mother. But mostly he had experiences within the heavenly realm itself. And one thing the Lord told him is, my people have to start learning to be more regal. And now, he talked to him a lot about sin and being good stewards and stuff like that. You know, don't get me wrong. But what the Lord was telling him was that we are kids of the King. We have to start acting like we can have what our Father will give us. Not in an arrogant way. Please don't. I'm a kid of the King and you're just a pagan. No, that it's not a good evangelistic method. You know, I'll kick you. I'll just put you down because I'm a kid of the King. No, I'm not saying that. But we are children of God, and he wants us to have all things richly to enjoy. We need to ask. And then this is my last point. We need to begin living like we were at the next level. Let me explain this. I was on staff of another mega church here in Southern California, and we had a pastor come in who the Lord had blessed with tremendous wealth. And he said to, somebody asked him, how did the Lord bless you this much financially? And he came to us and said, this is what happened. Every time I wanted something else, you know, like a better car or a better house or a better job or better clothes, whatever, every time I wanted to go to the next level, I would start acting like I was at that level already. I'm not saying he brought out the credit cards and had champagne and caviar. Listen closely. He said he had a really bad car one time. It was so horrible to look at. And so he kept asking God for a new car. Finally, but he wasn't really listening. You ever do that? You ever ask and ask, but you don't really listen to see if God wants to tell you anything? I've done that. I've actually had the Lord say, Lisa, please be quiet. I need to tell you something. I'm like, what? I'm going through my prayer list here. I am trying to be efficient. No. But, you know, when the master of the universe says, please be quiet, we really should try to do it. And he said that he had always been saying, Lord, give me a new car. Give me a new car. Help me. Help me. And the Lord said, why should I give you a new car if you don't even take care of the one you have? Because it was a kind of crummy looking car. So he had like fast food bags in the back seat and he never vacuumed it and kind of stank and, you know, smelled a little bit like too much like his dog, you know, that type of thing. And so he felt really convicted. And he cleaned his car. Now, it still looked like junk in the main. But it was a very clean, orderly piece of junk. Like, for example, a modernistic sculpture. You know, that often gets millions of dollars at a museum. Okay? You're like, what in the world? Somebody put a tire and a, you know, a stick. And they sold that for a million. I don't get it. I don't get it. But anyway, I do digress. These are just thoughts I have, just random. I'm always thinking. Anyway, so his car was an orderly piece of junk. And after he got it in order, the Lord gave him a fantastic new car. But it wasn't until he was a good steward of what he already had. Now, when I came back from Asia, I hardly had anything. I mean, I had just what was in my suitcases, okay? And my clothes, they were very Asian, which are, it's beautiful. But in Michigan winters, doesn't usually, you know, work as well. Because I was in kind of a hot place, most, you know, different places. But most of my places were hot when I worked in Asia. And so I felt like the Lord said, you get out all your clothes and you get them in order. So I got all my clothes in order, and I still felt like, ugh, this is really basically just for summer. I don't really have a lot of stuff for Michigan weathers anymore, you know, winters especially. And so I just prayed. I said, Lord, help me. I've done what I know to do. I could be like a homeless person, and again, I'm not making fun of anybody, and just put on multiple layers. But some of my outfits were kind of Hawaiian and, you know, multiple layers. It was going to look really tacky. I said, whatever I need to do, you show me what to do. And I had all these ideas of what God would do. But of course, I hardly ever think of how God will answer it. Even I might think of 10 ways, the Lord does an 11th way. This happened all my life. God is so creative. He's much smarter than we are. So I started, you know, I just had my clothes in good order, but it was starting to get cold in Michigan. I thought, oh man, I'm going to freeze, you know. And I was working with a young woman who was the same size as me, which is very rare. You know, normally only small children and Santa's elves really meet the same height requirement. And I didn't want to look like, you know, one of Santa's elves. That's just wrong. So she said, Lisa, now that you've come back from Asia, I bet you don't have that many winter clothes. She said it without me saying anything. I said, yeah, you're right. I said, I think I'm going to maybe freeze this winter. And she said, oh, no, you're not. I was cleaning out my clothes closet, and look what the... And she wasn't saved at all, so I'm not saying the Lord told her this. Look what I felt led to... She said that. What I felt led to give you. Because she was like one of these universe girls. I just know that if you have the right heart, the universe will bring good things to you. It's a little bit funny theologically. I think that overall, even if you have a good heart, the universe will bring the law of thermodynamics into your life, which says that everything is just revolving and going toward destruction, okay? The universe will bring a pigeon to poop on your head. You know, that's, you know, that's not right theology, but she had a kind spirit. And she said, she gave me all these clothes, and they were nice clothes, and they were winter clothes. And I looked really sharp in some of those clothes because she had much better taste than I did. She was actually a person who was fashionable. This was another good point. But anyway, we need each other, you know. And when I wore those outfits, I felt like I was at the next level. I started acting differently. Now, I'm not trying to get all clothes conscious and say, you have to wear a certain kind of brand if you want to be successful. I don't believe that at all. But what happened was I got my world organized, and then the Lord made sure that I had clothes that would take me to the next level. And because I had those clothes, I was able to get another job that was better, and then another job that was better. Do you understand where I'm coming from? But there's no reason for the Lord to give you something more if you're not taking care of what he's already given to you. This is an important thing in the kingdom. So we need to organize the life we have right now. All right? I learned this in Bible school. The pastor... The female pastor there was a wife with a lot of wisdom. And she said that she had this marriage counseling problem where the husband just wanted to stay away from the home all the time. And he had kids and a pretty beautiful wife, but he never wanted to be home. And finally, as they were counseling him, giving spiritual guidance. We do not say counseling unless we have our master's degree in counseling. I need to make that disclaimer for the reality TV show that's filming this. But as they were giving them spiritual guidance, it came out that the house was very messy. And the husband said that after a long day at work, he didn't want to come home to a house that was very messy. Of course, the woman felt so bad. But most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we're messy in some area of our lives, whether it's our kitchen or our car or our own bodies. Nobody's got it all together. If they do, they have people. You know, my one daughter, she's going to go to law school next month. She says she wants to have people to do these things. So far, I've been her people, but she wants to get money and have people she pays. Okay, now she's not snooty, but she makes jokes about that because she realizes that none of us can have it all. We need help. Okay? And so this husband's like, I don't want to come home. And so the wife just started with the living room. And she got like one corner of the living room clean. And he started staying home just a little bit more. And then she cleaned up the whole living room. And he'd like come home and he'd stay for maybe an hour. This was making progress. I'm telling you, the guy used to just basically sleep there, not do anything else. And then she cleaned the kitchen. And then she cleaned each of the bedrooms. She was just systematically doing it. And by the time she had cleaned the whole house, that husband was staying around all the time. Okay, because we can't be expected to go to the next level if we're not taking care of the things we already have. All right? So we need to organize the life we have now. Then we have to choose activities that help you grow. Like I said, my brother-in-law's best friend, Sean Christian, good-looking guy, you can Google him, nice guy, but I do not want to spend my life watching him make millions and have a wonderful life. I love Sean. I stood up in the wedding with him. He tried to get me to take off my shoe so he could drink champagne out of my shoe. I said, no, this is not happening. He's kind of a weird guy, but I still love him. Pray for him. He's got a good last name, Christian. Let him behave like one. So, he's a good guy, but I do not want to live my life watching him. I don't want to live my life watching the Kardashians. I don't want to live my life watching Paris Hilton. I want to live my life so that the Kardashians would like to watch me. So that Paris Hilton would be interested in what Lisa Gilfillan is doing. Because she's so fascinating due to Jesus in her. All right? I don't want to live by proxy. And so I have to choose activities that are going to get me to the next level. Overall, television's not one of them. I'm not saying you can't watch any TV. I'm not saying all TV is demonic. I'm just saying that it anesthetizes you from your current pain and purpose, and it usually limits you from going to the next level if you watch too much of it. You got to live. You got to be in those classes at night school. You got to be cleaning up your house. You got to be helping your kids with their homework. You got to be living so you can go to the next level. And not just paying for someone else who's already rich to have an even richer life. I don't even know how some of those women can hold their fingers up with their diamonds. See, when Baron and I see really big diamonds, we calculate how many orphanages we could start with them. A lot of them we're like, ooh, wow, that's a 20 orphanage diamond. You know, that's how we look at it. We're like, that's a good one. We could get 20 orphanages out of that one. And then beautify your surroundings. I learned this, again, from my friends in seminary. None of us had much money. But the women who were helping me and teaching me how to do childcare in my home, they kept their places looking nice and cheery. And so I said, you know what? Even if we don't have much, we're going to have a place that looks nice and cheery. And when I came back from Asia and had nothing, I went to the library. Because in those days, you could actually rent paintings and stuff from the library. And some libraries, you still can do that. And posters and things like that. I know I couldn't keep them up very long, but I had a very positive attitude. I said, well, all right, I'll only have that one for a month, but then I'll get another piece of art. You know, I tried to act like I was an art connoisseur or something, you know. I will change my decor in my one room. It will become classier and classier as the time goes on. You know, this is how I thought. I'd get books. I wasn't going to pay money for books because I didn't have money. So I'd get books. We used to have cassette tapes. This is how old I am. I know a lot of you young people. What are cassette tapes? I understand. The forerunner of CDs, okay? DVDs. I used to get those things out. Exercise videos, okay? I wouldn't buy them. I would rent them from the library. Well, I wouldn't have to pay anything. I would just take them out. And that's what I did when my kids were small and we were living in the States. Because most of the time we've been living overseas. I would make sure that I would take advantage of the library. I'd get everything that I could out of my library card. There were many times I had every single, like you could take out 30 books. I had 30 books taken out. I reached my limit, my credit limit at the library. because I didn't want my kids to go without just because we didn't have much. And I thought, if there are resources available, I'm going to make use of them. I kept a positive attitude about it. Now, also, when I was little, long, long ago, when dinosaurs still ruled the earth, we actually used to use layaway instead of credit. And it used to be so fun for me to go with my mom and my sisters, all girls, we didn't have men, so we could really keep a good fashion statement going on. No smelly gym shorts and everything. So we'd go to a department store and we'd pick out the clothes that we were going to get for school. And we never got too many things, don't get me wrong. Maybe three outfits, but we were going to have three new outfits. And then we would put a little money down and we'd begin paying every week, usually 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it worked out. And then when we were done paying, we could pick them up from the store. That was a glorious day. I always felt very rich on that day because I had three new outfits for the year and I was going to rock. All right? We want so many things instantly. We want instant gratification. But even in the phrase delayed gratification, there's still the word gratification. You can be gratified, but it might take a little bit longer. You get what I'm saying? And so I know Kmart right now, for example, and I'm not getting any money from any of these people. I need you to know that. I do not work for any of the companies I've talked about, even though I presume that very soon I shall, because I'm getting of the age. I do not work for them. I do not get any money for endorsements. But Kmart is really advertising that they have a layaway plan, and they have it for 8 to 12 weeks. Find treasures in thrift stores. When Pastor Debbie and Pastor Jim didn't have much money, Pastor Debbie can make a junkyard look nice. If she were in charge of a junkyard, it would be organized. There would be flowers painted next to the old tires. There would be plants by the lumber. You know, she would do something. And we knew them way back when they didn't have much money. And when Pastor Jessica and Pastor Luke were real little, where they were shorter than me. This is how long we've known them. This will tell you. This will clue you. And she always used to go to thrift stores and make her house so beautiful using those treasures. And the last thing to do is to band with other sisters and help one another go to the next level. When we were in seminary, for example, we didn't have much money. So we all traded chores. Like if someone was really good with yard work, they'd do the yard work. And then if someone was good with cooking, they'd do some cooking. We had a childcare co-op. So that all of us could at least maybe go one night a week, one night a month, however it worked, out with our spouses so that we, you know, weren't taking care of the kids all the time. And we did it in a banding together fashion so that we could go to the next level and not simply endure our lives but enjoy them. This is what's possible in Jesus. But it's going to take a lot more self-sacrifice, discipline, and a desire to be in community than we've had before. I just want to encourage you, though. You are not where you are going to be in the future if you resolve in your heart to go further. If you want to keep doing the same things that have gotten you here, you'll stay here year after year after year after year after year. I don't think you want that. If you want to go further, if you want God to change your life, it can happen.